loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts. He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores! He scores!
Anthony for three. Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Pick and Pod. Along with Chaz McAdams and Owen Kelty, I'm Colin Lochran. Happy to be with you. Guys, we're inching closer and closer to the NBA playoffs. Chaz, I don't know about you. I'm very, very excited.
I'm excited for the with the play-in, what is it, 19 other teams. As a Celtics fan, I tweeted this like way back, I'm genuinely dreading the playoffs. Expectations like this, like I can, as a Boston fan also, and producer Joe Henry's going to hate this, I can sympathize with a Yankee fan. Like the expectations going into playoffs when you're like the program to beat, and you've been so close to there and haven't gotten a chance to grab the brass ring is terrifying. Terrifying. But genuinely excited for some NBA playoff ball.
It feels like this should be Boston's year. They're the class of the Eastern Conference. Owen, there's a lot of other teams that are trying to knock them off, the Knicks being one of them. The Milwaukee Bucks feel like that they have a chance. Even a team like Philly feels like they can make some noise. It should be an interesting tournament.
I mean, Boston is 8 games ahead of the second best team in the NBA. That's an incredible stat right there. But the Knicks clinching back-to-back years, getting into the playoffs, I think for the first time in 10 years, has been really cool to see, especially being as a Knicks fan. Their whole life has been losing and lottery picks, and now the Knicks are back in the playoffs. And I can't wait to see what Jalen Brunson does in this playoff after last year's playoff run. It's going to be crazy to see what he can do this year, especially with more shots with Randle being out.
What a perfect transition that is going to be. The Knicks actually played the Celtics last night, defeated Boston by a final score of 118-109. Don't be deceived by the scoreboard, though. This game was never really that close. Jalen Brunson was phenomenal as per usual. 39 points, 15 of 23 from the field, 6 of 11 from behind the three-point line. Guys, it feels like the Knicks are now peaking at the right time, albeit the peak is different from what we thought it was going to be. Obviously, they're without Julius Randle, but OG Anunoby has come back. He's looked really good on the defensive end, 12 points against Boston yesterday. You would like to see him score the ball a bit more, but it feels as if Tom Thibodeau's squad is starting to really come together at the right time, Chaz.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to admit it, but I mean, the Knicks rocked the Celtics last night. There's really no way about it. But, I mean, I kind of feel like in this specific situation that the game being as close as it was by the end says a lot about this Celtics team. Not to be spin zone. The Knicks are rocking right now. I think Jalen Brunson is the second best player in the NBA behind Luka Doncic right now. The fact that this Celtics bench, which are guys that are going to get playoff minutes like Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, Al Horford, even guys like Luke Kornet could see the floor. They all play that and were able to get it over who I think is probably another team that's probably top three, top four in terms of depth in the league. Definitely top three in the East in the Knicks. The fact that the bench squad versus bench squad, I mean, with Thibodeau, there really is no such thing as a bench squad. Brunson getting pulled in when you guys were up 30 was absurd with 7 minutes to go. I think it says a lot, but this makes me think that Brunson's not just on a hot streak, that he might just be this good. And if so, that's terrifying. Now, I think the Knicks were playing at their ceiling in this game, genuinely. I think this is that type of Knicks basketball is the best we're going to see. I mean, Boyan playing great, Brunson going for 40, Dante having a pretty solid night. I think that you saw the ceiling of the Knicks and the floor of the Celtics, and it was only a 9-point game. So
I don't know if you could say it was only a 9-point game. It was a 31-point game when Brunson left the game, and then I mean, it was precious that you won Isaiah Hartenstein on the court for the entire
fourth
quarter.
Those are like your two,
yeah, but
two of your
entire,
best defensive guys.
Yeah, but when they run the rotation, the two of them on the floor at the same time just as
that happens
shown
all
it does
the time.
Not
you guys
work,
run
yeah.
twin towers not, all the time.
Not lately. But precious that you has been out of the rotation for probably
unfortunately,
the last
but
five
you guys
or six
run,
games.
The Knicks run Mitch and Hartenstein together like for, I would say, like 10 minutes every game.
I don't think that's happened all year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
Mitch and Hart.
That's
I've definitely
they have not played
maybe through the injury era, like whenever.
Okay, that's more
yeah,
fair
yeah.
because
like maybe that's
they were
where
running
I've seen
Sims,
it.
And, Sims and Hartenstein when they were down to like a 6-man rotation, which Gosh. Was during that part of the season that was rough to watch.
Well, yeah. I don't think Sims is going to touch the floor come playoff.
He's not leaving
time.
The 10th seat
is
on
he
the
in
bench.
Westchester?
Achua,
nah, he's on the bench.
Could be an interesting piece.
He's
come
good.
Playoff time. I have said that since the moment the Knicks acquired him, he's become a little bit of that Diet Julius Randle type of thing on the floor.
That's
Owen,
a good way to put
it. I don't
I mean,
know.
Diet zero calories. Like,
right, it's
like
different.
Diet
it's
zero
different.
Light Julius
he's a dog,
Randle.
Though.
But he's hit some threes. He's had some moments where he's shown some skill from range. I don't know if that's his game
oh,
necessarily.
He's tough. No, he can hoop for sure. Like, he can score at all three levels, not to the level of Randle, obviously, not even to the level of an average NBA player, but he can make those shots. That is in his bag. I just don't really know if Thibodeau's going to want those shots being taken by that guy come playoff time.
In any event, you have to love the way that Jalen Brunson has been playing, if you're a Knicks fan. Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, the Villanova Knicks are a force to be reckoned with. And that win last night matters for New York. They're still fighting for the second seed in the Eastern Conference. Now, whether or not the Knicks should want the second seed is a different discussion entirely. They would need to win out from here to get that second seed. It's also possible they finish in third place in the East. If the season were to end today, that's where the Knicks would be. They would take on Indiana in round one. And Owen, my question for you, because you are a Knicks fan, is there a team that you wouldn't want to face? Because I look at the standings right now, I would be concerned about playing Indiana. I would not be as concerned if I had to play Orlando or Cleveland, simply because the Knicks beat Cleveland last season. Orlando, for as good as Paolo Banchero is and is going to be in the future, I still think they're a little bit young. Indiana scares me with the Halliburton factor because while he can run hot and cold, at his best, I just don't know if the Knicks have a pure answer for him, especially if OG Anunoby gets banged up during the series.
I'm the opposite of you. I think no matter what seed the Knicks are, I want the Pacers in the first round just
totally.
Because I think all season the Knicks have relatively handled them. Except for maybe one game. I think they won the season series 3-1. The team I would be concerned about playing in the first round is the Sixers. I do not want to see a healthy Joel Embiid in the first round, especially with you saying if Anunoby gets banged up and already Mitch and Hartenstein are both, Mitch coming back with his conditioning not being as good and Hartenstein still kind of banged up. He's been playing more minutes lately, but I don't want to see a healthy Joel Embiid in the playoffs. That's why if the Sixers are going to be that 7th seed, I do not want the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. I mean, it's going to take the Bucks losing out, but Giannis isn't playing. Damian Lillard's not playing tonight. So it seems like it's pretty possible Knicks are playing the Nets and the Bulls. And the Bulls aren't going to be playing their starters on Sunday because they already clinched that 9 seed. So pretty likely it seems like the Knicks are going to win out, and then maybe the Bucks play the Magic. But they could still fall down to the 4 seed too if there's a 3-way tie. There's a lot going on in the Eastern Conference. But first round, I want to see the Pacers and do not want to see the Sixers. Even the Heat, because the Heat are going to end up injuring someone in that first round series. So
totally.
Jalen Brunson is not making it out of that first round if they're playing the Heat.
I see the Knicks fan and the Celtics fan uniting when it comes to
Bam Adebayo being a dirty player.
That's
exactly.
The boogeyman. He's the boogeyman.
It has been.
It's scary. And for once, like how many times have Chicago and Atlanta been in the play-in in the East in
the
play-in era?
I think
the
last
whole
3 years.
Time,
I think the
which
last
has been
the,
it's
them.
Been Chicago and Atlanta and then 9-10. Can we get it done? Can we get
Can
it done?
Can one of them do the job?
Because them knocking out a Philly or Miami would be huge. All you got to do is win one game. DeMar.
We got to win. They got to win,
Trey,
too.
Is Trey due to be back?
I think Trey just got cleared.
He is due to be back. DeJounte as well. Unfortunately, Atlanta did lose Jalen Johnson, that young stud that they have. I think he's done for the year. So is Onyeka Okongwu.
Trae Young is due to be back. In fact, he did return after a 23-game absence with a finger injury. How electric would a first-round series potentially be between the Hawks and the Knicks if things were to shake out that
Hawks
way?
Can't get to the 7th seed, though. So the Knicks wouldn't, unless they played, Knicks got to the 2nd seed. Could
happen.
At most, the Hawks can be the eighth seed.
So it wouldn't be Knicks Hawks first round.
It would be Celtics Hawks. Or Celtics.
Even still, that would be interesting.
Celtics beat the Hawks. Hawks beat the Celtics twice in a row game winners. No, this year.
No, but even last year, didn't the Celtics Hawks play first round and
they gave
Hawks
them a scare.
Took two?
Yeah. Yeah, Hawks took off too. But this year in the regular season, without Trae Young, with the Celtics at full health, the Hawks took off too. One in overtime, one with a buzzer beater at the end of regulation. So, but I'm not worried about the Hawks in the playoffs. Not to make this a Celtics podcast, but, you know, I got a ride for my guys, and they are, for me at least, a big story in the NBA. One, I am going to agree with Kelty that I think I would rather face Indiana than Cleveland and Orlando, even though Donovan Mitchell is so hot cold.
I'd play any of those three. I just don't want to play the Sixers or the Heat. I think Cleveland, injured, Magic, Young, and then the Pacers are soft.
Pacers are so soft. They're not built for the playoffs. They play way too fast. Thibodeau will slow them down. No defense. And Halliburton's on a cold streak of a lifetime. But I don't know, man. Like, Boston, like, the expectations have just never been this high. Since KG, the expectations have not been this high on the Boston Celtics. And with so much, like, fingertips touching that championship, like, an inch away, going to the finals. Celtics have been in the conference finals for, I think, four of the last 6 years. And just not able to do it. That's like the latest exit they've had for the last 6 years, something like that. And it's, as a Celtics fan, it is brutal to see that Miami is grabbing that 8 seed in the play-in. So I am really just, I'm a Chicago and Atlanta fan for the coming weeks.
I wouldn't be as worried about beating Miami. I'd just be worried about Tatum, Brown, or Porzingis leaving that game injured. Because didn't Porzingis get hurt already this year playing Bam Adebayo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, he's a dirty player.
So I think they'd beat them, but
well,
someone's
no, we saw this in the series that they had last. We saw this in the series that they had last year with the Knicks, which was, or even and against the Celtics. The Heat know that the refs aren't going to call everything. So they're going to do
the moving screens.
They do everything. They do everything. You know, I wish that we had women's final four refs for the NBA playoffs so I could get a moving screen call once. You know what I mean? Shout out to UConn in that loss. It's a very interesting. The East is so fun, but I really do think it's Milwaukee, New York, or Boston that can come out.
I would tend to agree with you, and as far as first-round matchups go, I'm still holding on to what I had said. Indiana scares the daylights out of me,
really,
from a Knicks perspective, because I just look at Pascal Siakam, I look at Halliburton.
But since
and
the Siakam
all,
trade, though, they haven't been that great.
Halliburton
it doesn't
stinks
matter.
Right now.
It doesn't matter. The potential is there for them to be deadly, and it's the type of team that the Knicks could struggle against. So, with that being said...
Especially because everyone's written them off. Like,
right.
Everyone has written them off
in
the playoffs.
Which is always a scary
good.
Thing.
Of course.
Because you never know when a team's going to flip it around entirely.
Last night, Celtics-Knicks.
With that being said, though, we're going to have to do a whole lot of waiting and waiting and waiting to really see who the Knicks will have to play against. Not too much waiting, though. NBA playoffs knocking at the door. A team that won't be in the NBA playoffs, the Brooklyn Nets. They'll be taking on the Knicks tonight at Madison Square Garden. But there were things to like about the Nets' season finale at the Barclays Center. I do want to talk about it a little bit, guys. They beat the Raptors 106-102. I was in the building. Really a great basketball game. Both of these teams out of the playoff picture, obviously. But Emmanuel quickly was very good for Toronto. Dennis Schroeder was just as good, if not better at times, for the Brooklyn Nets. Nick Claxton stepped up. Noah Clowney was really good for Brooklyn in that ballgame. Seven blocks. He's the kind of guy that Brooklyn feels like has a ton of upside that they can potentially build around. Doesn't mean he's going to be a star, but it means he could be a key piece that you pair with a Claxton, with a Mikal Bridges in the future, trying to attract a star, perhaps a Donovan Mitchell, to come to Brooklyn. Then your club has a different feel to it. I look at where Brooklyn is, Chaz, and I see a team that has a lot of nice pieces that just haven't meshed well together. Because they're not the pieces that should be going with one another to lead a team to a championship. In other words, what I mean by that is standalone talents, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, even someone like Dennis Schroeder, could be nice players on a playoff team, but you need a star to complement those guys. It's the reason why when KD left you immediately see the play drop off from the Brooklyn Nets because all of those guys weren't able to carry the weight that was needed to be carried to win a playoff series against Philly last year. But if you're able to get that big bopper in there, suddenly all these pieces they have make a lot more sense together.
Yeah, I mean, I could not agree more, because when people are so down on Brooklyn, including Nets fans and probably a lot of Knicks fans, I look at the guys on the roster, I'm like, they got guys, you know what I mean? But the way this roster is constructed together is just too much of a burden for Kevin Ollie to bear. I don't know if the great coaches, you know what I mean, could get this roster to where it is. They have they're terrible. They're one of the least efficient teams in the NBA. Their perimeter defense is super weak, despite having really solid perimeter defenders. I think a team so bad, with such few assets on pretty, in terms of shopability, bad contracts, it's hard to say blow it up. But I just think you got to stop throwing whatever at the wall and see what sticks. I mean, you need a go-to guy in the modern-day NBA. You can't, like the 2015 Hawks aren't getting 60 wins in today's NBA. You know what I mean? You still got to have some stars if you want to start winning basketball games. And I thought that Brooklyn would get there going 11-13 after the Kevin Durant trade, with Mikal Bridges having the season he did. Obviously, irreplicable. But I don't know. I think that Brooklyn is in a very tough spot. I would trade draft assets this year. They have some decent capital, obviously losing a lot, but gaining it back through the Kevin Durant trade. So it's a very, like, there's a lot of things to be worked out with Brooklyn. I would trade draft capital for players, because if I'm any NBA GM, I don't even want to look at this draft board this year.
Yeah, this is...
I mean, there's a reason that Reed Shepard's going top 10. Let's just say, as a Kentucky fan, there's a reason Reed Shepard's going top 10.
Yeah, this is a really bad draft, but good thing they don't have their own pick. I think if they lose their last two, they'll be in contention for the Rockets having a top 10 pick in this draft, but... I don't, with the Nets front office, I don't know how a fan you could be, have a positive outlook on this, like, team. The amount of assets that they fumbled, not trading Lonnie Walker when he was on a 1-year vet minimum deal at the deadline. I mean, the way first round picks are going in the NBA, you probably could have gotten a first round pick for Lonnie Walker, maybe. And then fumbling the whole Mikal Bridges back to the Rockets trade, you would have gotten all your picks back and possibly Jalen Green. I know there's worries that Jalen Green and Cam Thomas can't fit together, but I don't think you really care if you can get all your picks back. And then you don't have to throw everything at the wall for hoping for another star player. You can tank next year in a draft that is really good. So, but next year they also don't have their draft pick again. So if you were able to get your picks back from the Rockets, that should have been something that they did immediately without question, I think. But with the front office that they have, and the fact that their front office has survived this many mistakes over and over again is incredible to see, but they do have some good role players. I mean, Mikal Bridges, Cam Thomas, they're good players in the NBA, but like you said, without that star, they're really not going to go anywhere. And do you really think Donovan Mitchell puts this team as a playoff team, as sixth seed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Without Donovan question. Mitchell with this roster right now.
Yes. Is that good? With this roster right now, no.
I mean, look at what he has on the Cavs, so. Though. And they're only...
Well, I mean, I think him and Garland are holding each other back. I think both of them are not greater than the sum of their parts.
Wouldn't it be the same with him and Cam Thomas, though, next to each other?
No, but Cam's going to take less shots than Garland.
As will Bridges.
And I think Donovan is great as, like, he's a James Harden shooting guard. He's a point guard. So he's just a scoring point guard, and he can distribute pretty well. So maybe, I love Nick Claxton, double-double machine, like averaging probably like close to 2 blocks a game. And I think D. Mitch, like, I don't know what they're going to – it really depends on their playoff success. I mean, I don't
first
think –
first round exit, I think they have to trade him because he's not going to sign that extension.
Yeah, and I think they want Garland over him. I think they like their homegrown.
He's their guy. Yeah.
Well, Chaz, you mentioned Claxton. This is a contract year. It's not a given that he'll be back in Brooklyn. Now, if the Nets were to splurge and give Claxton what he's looking for to keep him there long term, you'd have to look at trading other assets like a Daron Sharp, even
definitely
bottom of the bucket
sign
type
and
of guys.
Like Clowney again, right. Like how you said, but because I think Claxton is definitely the type of guy to look for like
way too much money.
$20 million a year.
I mean, he's gonna get way less than Isaiah Hartenstein's gonna get. And what's his market around probably right now? Is what, 15 probably ish?
It's interesting.
I think Hart's definitely getting 20.
What did Mitchell Robinson get?
I think Hart's gonna get like twenty over four.
In any event, the roster without Claxton looks different than it does with Claxton.
Oh my gosh, of course. If
we can assume one moment that Claxton stays, and you still have Clowney, you still have Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and Cam Thomas, I might add, who's going to be a factor now.
Mm-hmm. Dariq Whitehead can still develop.
Exactly. And you add Donovan Mitchell, suddenly Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges don't have as much weight on their shoulders. They can kind of just hoop, because then you're looking at screen and roll situations where Mitchell can find Mikal Bridges in the corner, find someone on the wing, you get one pump fake and a path to the basket. They try and stop you there. You got an alley-oop to Nick Claxton. Suddenly the offense looks a lot different. From a defensive perspective, I worry about this team on the perimeter. I think Mikal Bridges is a decent perimeter defender. He's not top tier in the NBA by any stretch, but he's serviceable. Cam Johnson, I have questions about. Cam Thomas cannot play defense. That's been proven. You're going to need some perimeter defenders that can elevate your team at that point. And the Brooklyn Nets are not in the best cap situation. They're not in the best draft capital situation either. They're going to have to find some interesting solutions. I'm not completely out on this front office. They've been given way too many chances. So at this point, why not see if they can turn this thing around? Throw them one more chance.
What do you think they do with Coach, though, too? You think they stick with Kevin Ollie?
He's been so good, and he has that locker room.
It was the same idea, though, with Jacque Vaughn, and then look at that.
I don't know. Ollie's definitely a different vibe. I like what he's been doing with that offense way more. He also got handed, like,
a horrible situation. Yeah,
I mean, like, if you're in the Tour de France, someone hands you a broken bicycle, you're not going to go very far, right? So... But I just don't know. I mean, when they lose bad. When they win, they usually keep it pretty close. I just can't get a gauge on the Brooklyn Nets, because usually I can, when I'm trying to get a barometer of where a roster is going to go, I look to the coach and look to, and when there's an interim, I look to the culture of a team, a culture of an organization, to see where the coaching situation is going to land. The Nets don't have a culture.
No.
The Nets just straight up don't have a culture. Their culture's like, we're sick. Like, their culture's like, we're like, cool.
Yeah.
Their culture's like, we got guys. I don't know. I don't trust this front office. I agree. If I was a Nets fan, I wouldn't trust this front office. But I who knows? I mean, again, them at their ceiling, we've seen what Mikal can do. If they add another piece... A guy like Donovan Mitchell, who I'm also not trusting at all now. Dude, his recent shooting splits and his
hurt all year, though.
But coming back, he has been inconsistent. It's been bad. I don't know. It's very hard. I feel like I'm always saying I don't know when it comes to that. Because they have good pieces. It looks like they have some going. I really do like I think Nets fans are very underrated. And then I look at the record and I'm like, what are we doing right now?
Never a dull moment in Brooklyn at all. A lot on the table still for those Brooklyn Nets, not headed to the NBA playoffs. But guys, with the regular season truly winding down, it seems appropriate to talk about NBA MVP season and who's going to bring home that award. I'm going to lead off here because it feels... almost like a given that this award is going to Nikola Jokic. He's been incredible this season. 26.6 points per game, 12.4 rebounds per game, 9 assists per game, shooting roughly 58% from the field and around 82% from the charity stripe. Guys, Joker's just on another level. You have to give it up for him. And while I might have concerns about the Nuggets during the playoffs and whether or not they're going to be able to get out of the West, you have to give it to him when it comes to his regular season performance, what he's able to do on a night-in, night-out basis for this Denver team. There's some other pieces that are making noise to win the MVP award. Luka Doncic, Jalen Brunson, even becoming a part of that conversation. But it just feels like Jokic is going to bring home the hardware yet again. He's going to win his third MVP award.
Three MVPs is...
He's that good, though.
He is, might he be is in that the good. Second he is that NBA good. Finals MVP
He is that good.
Year.
He is that good. He's the greatest Nugget of all time, for sure. There's no question about it. Shout out the Skywalker. Shout out Alex English. Shout out Carmelo Anthony. How about the fact that they both wear 15? That is brutal. And I've heard Melo talk about that a lot. Definitely, I agree with him that it's a slight from the Nuggets organization that he wears 15.
I mean, they didn't know Jokic was going to be like one of the greatest player ever. They gave it to like a second round
but if
pick.
They, I feel like if they respected him enough in his first fringe all-star year, which I think was like 2018 maybe. He really came onto the team 2019. So let's say 2018, they kind of see him being like, this guy can get triple doubles when he's asleep on a racehorse, and he's also fat, and he's awesome.
Let's switch up that number.
I feel like I would do that as an organization, right? Lochran, I feel like that would be the move. If Jason Tatum was wearing number, or no, he was like let me think of a second round pick. Smart. Or he was also, Celtics have so many good first round picks. Sorry.
Payne Pritchard.
If Payne Pritchard, but he's not good. Or he is great, but he's not like that good. But let's say like.
What a line that is.
He's not good, but he's great, but he's not good.
He's great for what he is, but he's not like great in terms of the history of an organization. If I am an organization that like. I have someone that meant so much to me and defined my organization for so many years that the relationship ended pretty bad, you know, about the beef with him and George Karl. And I see another player that we just tossed a number to because he got drafted during a Taco Bell commercial, and he's playing out of his mind. He's becoming a fringe all-star. I 1,000% change up that number. I definitely change up that number. And I think Jokic, I don't think Jokic cares. Jokic barely cares, like, what sport he's playing.
He doesn't care about winning.
He doesn't care about anything. I know Lochran has a lot to say about Jokic's care, which I actually agreed with him on, even though he did get kind of crucified there.
I still hold that take. And people,
what he was at the time.
I think he cares more now.
He cares more now.
Well, because he got shamed into it.
Yeah.
Almost feels like what ended up happening there now.
I think it was an act.
Well, you know what I never understood with that whole thing? When people were coming at me for saying what I had said, I never said that he wasn't a great basketball player.
Yeah, exactly. You never said he's not the best player on the planet. It just sucks that the best player on the planet didn't care about basketball.
And all I said personally, as someone who writes about the sport, covers the sport, I could never put him above people like Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain knowing that personally. Now, if you can get past him being lukewarm about the sport, more power to you.
Okay.
But for me, I could never do it.
Shout out. I love that. I like that mentality. Yeah, Jokic is great. I don't know how Luka's not the MVP.
I think Luka, with Dallas
at the five.
Especially he's first in points and second in assists, almost averaging a triple-double. He's going to win the scoring title. And the way the Mavericks been playing, their roster,
they've been playing cracked-out basketball.
The Nuggets roster is really good, but the Mavericks roster, I don't think you can look at it as like, one of the best rosters in the NBA, and playing next to Kyrie Irving and being able to average that many points and assists is incredible. I mean, I think Luka should be getting MVP votes. He will be getting MVP votes, but I think he should win it. SGA, I don't really free throw merchant. I don't think he should be in that conversation.
That's so egregious.
I
don't think it should be Jokic. I don't think it should be.
I think
he's going
to
win.
I know
there could
he's
be some
win.
Voter fatigue,
but I'd like voter fatigue because, like, I don't know. I like to see new stuff.
Yeah,
like that. Like I know there's an argument for the best player should win, but like to be honest, I'm like pro voter fatigue. Like
somehow though, Sabonis is number five right now in the updated.
Because he is
ahead of Jalen. You think he should be ahead of Jalen Brunson?
No, but I think Jalen Brunson's top three. I think Jalen Brunson's top three.
Well, I will say this: there was a stretch, and producer Joe will like this, as will Chaz, where I felt if he had just played a touch better, we might have been talking about Jason Tatum potentially being top three.
Definitely.
There was a little pocket in January, February.
Him and Brunson were
propaganda.
Him and Brunson were
neck and neck.
Yeah, propaganda. He was just good at basketball. Like, shut up. there, but he's been playing terribly. Tatum's been playing terribly. The Celtics have been playing terribly. I want to drop a stat soon that I got to do some research on champions' record in their last 10 games. I'm very interested to see like how champions have played out in their last 10 or 5 because if it's bad, then that's a good sign for the Celtics.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I'm very pro voter fatigue because I like to see new stuff. Because I just think a Shea MVP would be cool. A Brunson MVP would be cool. Knicks fans don't deserve it because they're bad people, but it would be cool.
Coming from a Celtics fan, Knicks fans being bad people is...
No, Knicks fans are bad people. The worst part about New York is the fans of their sports.
Nothing's worse than Philly fans, so...
That's not true. Because Philly fans embrace the scumbag. There are scumbags in every major organization. Knicks fans have scumbags. Celtics fans have scumbags. Heat fans have a lot of scumbags. But Philly fans somehow embrace the scumbag. When have you seen a Philly fan put themselves on a pedestal? Every other fan base put themselves on white marble for some reason. Philly fans embrace the scumbag. That's why I love them.
As a New Yorker, I don't know how to react to that.
But their whole city is based on their sports complex. The whole downtown of their city is literally built.
It is the center of Philadelphia.
It's crazy. How do you design a city like that? Also designed it in 1776, and somehow Ben Franklin was like, we're going to get go birds. We're definitely going to get some cheese whiz and like quit scrimping on the whiz. Let me get some water ice downtown at the link.
That was actually very good Philly.
Yeah, I know. I am awesome because I'm a Celtics fan. You're gonna get this Delco. I'm kidding. But Philly fans are great because they know how scummy they are. Knicks fans are just bad people that don't deserve anything.
Listen, no. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to watch the Knicks and Rangers choke away their playoff chances. I'm going to Katz's after to drown my sorrows in a pastrami sandwich.
I'm going there today with my folks.
It's a fantastic spot.
I know. Is it worth the height of this? Is the pastrami actually good?
Okay, so what I have said is if you are not from here, definitely worth it to go.
Right.
But as soon as you go there, digest everything, go to Second Avenue Deli. Fantastic sandwiches there as well. I love Second Avenue Deli.
Because it feels just too... The sandwiches feel too big to not be gimmicky. But it's also a good sandwich.
And also Russ and Daughters, same type of area. Very good. Bagel and Lox. See, how can you not like New York fans? We're giving you food recommendations right here.
I like New York, but New York sports fans are bad.
Man. I don't know about that. No.
Bad. No, they're good fans. They're just bad to me. Because I'm a Boston fan. The Knicks were my second favorite team in the league as a Celtics fan growing up in Massachusetts.
That's fair.
Because the rivalry's one-sided. We do now. We, of course, do now. Celtics started all their starters. The Celtics care about the Knicks.
That game last night mattered to the Celtics. Any Celtics player or like Joe Mazzulla after the game like saying the Knicks had more care in that game. They were picking up Jalen Brunson full court in the second quarter.
Well, everyone does because they need to because Jalen Brunson is great.
Yeah, but if they didn't care about the game, they would have been like, throwing it in.
No. The Celtics care now, but the Knicks were my second favorite team. And then I come and I'm like, wait, what do you mean there's this New York-Boston rivalry outside of Yankees-Red Sox?
Jets-Patriots.
Giants-Patriots.
Yeah, that's kind of
just... Super Bowls.
Rangers-Bruins.
But the divisional.
That's not real.
That's not a real thing.
It exists, but it's not.
It's going to be this year
I think it's going to be Rangers-Islanders is going to be the major...
In the playoffs this year?
If they meet, that's going to be a bloodbath.
Well, of course.
Now,
I think
Rangers-Bruins would matter, but it would
Won't that be in the final? Or Rangers-Bruins? The conference? Before the championship?
We'll have to see how things shake out. Seating wise, but it's fun to think about.
The Rangers have the one locked up already, I thought. Even though they had a tough
major knock on wood.
That Flyers loss was brutal.
That was bad.
That was brutal.
That was bad. So also, it wasn't that bad, though, because the Knicks didn't win their game. It's the law of the garden.
Only one team can win at a time.
Do you think New York hates Boston more than they hate Philly?
Yes. I think so. Just because New York sports have been worse.
It depends on the team.
Do you think New York hates because every New
Yankees,
York team.
Yankees, Red Sox is definitely equal.
Of course. Every New York team has a little brother. Do you think New York hates the other New York team more than they hate Boston or Philly?
I think the Mets fans hate Philly and Atlanta more than they hate the Yankees.
That's not true.
I think so, too.
That's not been my experience.
They can't stand Atlanta.
They can't stand Yankee fans.
But Atlanta specifically has taken away divisions
all the time.
Exactly.
Yankees just kind of
exist.
The Mets
are garbage. And I've said this, and I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it again. And I don't know if Joe's going to back me up. In my experience, as a Boston fan in New York City, Mets fans are more insufferable than Yankee fans. And I'm saying that as a Boston guy.
That's true.
You're obviously saying that as a Yankee fan.
Right.
Shut up. Classic Yankee guy.
I mean, but you know what the difference is? Mets fans have more of a reason to be insufferable. I will give them
that. I just can't stand the whining.
But also, when you look at the Nets don't really have a fan base. So, like, for when you look at Knicks, Nets, it's different than Yankees, Mets.
No, I know. I just meant in a vacuum. I didn't mean all little brother teams.
Oh, yeah.
I meant Mets, Yankees in a vacuum.
Nets fans were just, Knicks fans were like, hey, this is good basketball, and KD's really good. So,
but.
Well, no, there's a lot of Jersey people that came over.
Ooh, but not as many as you'd think, because the Devils are really Jersey's team.
Definitely.
I will say that. Devils have a good
fan base. How was Jersey still Knicks town when the Nets were there?
I mean, I'm a Knicks fan from Jersey.
Yeah, that's right. Prime suspect right here.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I don't know.
Exhibit A.
Growing up, did not know like any Nets fans, and they were probably, when they moved 2013, they moved to Brooklyn?
2012,
so.
Greatest trade in sports
history. Yeah, I mean, there really was not a lot of Nets fans for me growing up. Even, like, my parents. All my parents' friends I know are Knicks fans, so New Jersey's was always seen to be a Knicks. But Devils do, like you're saying.
Right.
Like, Devils are, like, New Jersey, even though
I cannot stand the Devils at all.
They had a good win last night versus the Isles, right?
They're out, though. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. They're out?
Yeah, Devils are eliminated.
Fully out? Wow.
I think a couple days ago
Gonzo.
They got fully eliminated.
Not a factor. But
the Metro's so comp.
This is why you have to listen to WFUV Sports. You get a little bit of everything. It has been a blast talking with you guys on Pick and Pod. NBA playoffs coming soon. Hopefully, we'll be right back here talking about the Knicks and the Celtics, seeing what they can do in that Eastern Conference playoff picture. That's going to do it for us, though. For Chaz McAdams and Owen Kelty, I'm Colin Lochran saying so long. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.